Welcome to the Trade News Hour for Telstra, Australia's best mobile network and soap for tradies. Exfoliates, soothes and eliminates odours.
Good to have your company on the Trade News Hour. Mitch Cleary, Damien Barrett with you until 1 p.m. Melbourne time. This is the Trade News Hour for Telstra, Australia's best mobile network, and for soap for tradies, exfoliates, soothes and eliminates odours. Seemingly 1,000 deals about to drop between now and close of play, 7:30 p.m. tomorrow night. The St Kilda Football Club is in the thick of it. Ms Cleary, hello, welcome to you. Developments this morning have the Saints moving, inching ever so closer to getting some of the five names they want into their operations. And obviously there's going to be at least two names leaving and quite possibly more than that, which we'll get to in a moment. But as I say, hello, welcome, good afternoon to you. Port Adelaide seems to be coming to the table on alleviating some of the Saints' issues.
Good afternoon, Damo. We've got 1 day, 7 hours and 29 minutes to go. There's 25 names to get done. And two of those looking like Dougal Howard and Bradley Hill. I think there's been movement this morning. When you see Colin Young jet into Melbourne, he's not flying over for a holiday. He's not flying in for a coffee. He means business, Colin Young. He's moved so many players through the trade periods in recent times, and he's got Bradley Hill, his client, this season. And as we understand it, Fremantle, Port Adelaide and St Kilda are all in conversations this morning. It will see a three-way trade involved. We don't have the exact details right now. I think they're still being thrashed out, but it looks like Port Adelaide's pick 10 will make its way to St Kilda. They'll then have 10 to use for the Hill deal. And as part of that, 18 makes its way to Port Adelaide for Dougal Howard and Paddy Ryder. So there's a bit to work through, but it's just a complicated three-way trade.
Doesn't totally make sense to me, Mitch, the way you... So you're saying Port at the moment is prepared to involve pick 10 with two of its players, Paddy Ryder, which is almost the, in that old-fashioned vernacular, the steak knives in this arrangement.
Yep.
And Dougal Howard. So 10, Ryder and Howard go to the Saints.
For 12 and 18.
So it's for essentially 12 and 18.
For Dougal Howard and Paddy Ryder for pick 18. And then there's a sweetener for the Saints.
To get down to
12
10.
12 slides down to 10.
Yeah, and which would then be used, you think,
for Hill. Yeah.
So, and again, the Dockers, given they walked out of a meeting, or sorry, caused the Saints to walk out of a meeting, that they won't have budged too much on what they feel he's worth. So, Mitch, we've now known for some times that five players want to come into the
yep.
Saints. Bradley Hill was the first of the men to nominate.
And that was a big part of why a lot of these other guys, you feel, that has started the ball yep. rolling in St Kilda being a destination club of sorts this period.
Yeah, I do feel that. And I don't think it's any coincidence that him committing even before the season had finished, let alone before the trade period started, contributed to Ryder being part of it. Ryder went public with that at the trade radio launch, didn't he? Saying
yep.
that was a key part to his decision. You were then really big on Dougal Howard being a person of interest. They've got him involved. Zach Jones had a lot of suitors. They've offered good money to him. They've trumped other clubs on that. And then Dan Butler has been at it as well. So there's the five names that they want to bring in. They were then also keen to factor in what they needed to do next year with Ben King. Now, that was removed from their scenario yesterday when Ben King recommitted to the Gold Coast Suns. It's obviously forcing them into overdrive now to get all these other deals done. We know that they, even as we stand right now, are going to be losing Josh Bruce and Jack Stephen. There's another player, Mitch, who has been forgotten in all of this, whose future is in limbo as well on the Saints list. It's Jack Nunes, who
yep.
is a free agent. A lot of clubs are well aware of the gettability attached to him as the Saints go about getting these other players in. And something has to give. We keep saying something has to give. Already we know Jack Stephen and Josh Bruce are the players who are part of that give component to what happens here with the Saints in trade period. But so too is Jack Nunes. In every bit of the way, he's something that is potentially going to give. And he, I feel, won't have his future determined until outside of this trade period now because of the free agency status he's got. Other clubs know that he's gettable. It's now unlikely that his future will be known come close of play tomorrow night when the trade period finishes.
So he went into this period as a restricted free agent. He was able to be bid on by any other club. He had a two-year deal on the table by the Saints at the start of that.
I believe there is still an offer in front of him, the way I read it. Clearly, though, it's an offer he hasn't been prepared to accept.
From Jack Nunes' perspective, how he's got through the free agency period, had no offers, no clubs have come for him in any meaningful way, no bids. The Saints weren't forced to match any bids for him. And if he still has an offer in front of him, why he has not signed that?
Yeah, well, again, clearly he's buying time. Clubs have put feelers out to him. I don't claim to know whether there's official offers in front of him, but I don't see it happening, a resolution before the end of the trade period. There's a delisted free agency component to the AFL transactions, isn't there? So that comes after trade period. He may also get to tomorrow night at 7:30. Trade period deadline comes and goes. He may wake up in the next week to 2 weeks and think, I don't want to leave St Kilda. I'll take the deal that's in front of me. But there's no immediacy around it the way I read it. There's going to be a home for him, be it at St Kilda, where there is an offer to him, to your point, and that offer is there for him. But I expect another offer, or maybe several offers, to come for him outside of the trade period, potentially, as a delisted free agent. Should he choose to go down that status?
So because he can be a delisted free agent at the end of that period, do you feel clubs are just working through what else comes in at their respective clubs right now to see if Jack Nunes maybe will, if we miss out on player X, we can bring in Jack Nunes?
I think so. Yep.
Going back 12 months ago, Sydney was a club that showed interest in Jack Nunes.
Did they?
I'm not sure if it's been an interest this time around, but I could see a scenario just using Sydney as an example. They are a club that's held interest in Jack Nunes previously. If they miss Danaher, if Papley does end up going, maybe Nunes could be a player that comes in. Just as an example, that's what could happen in that delisted free agency period that you're talking about, and that comes after Wednesday's closure.
Yeah, it is. And look, there's always something that goes out that you don't want to go out. But when you get five players, and the fun has only begun for St Kilda the moment those five players committed, because we sit here right now and you're talking about potential deals. They've had potential deals going on for months, effectively. So they haven't yet got any across the line officially. We know they will. I still think they'll get all five somehow. I don't know how that plays out, but something gives. Jack Stephen will give, Josh Bruce will give, and now I honestly believe Jack Nunes is no better than 50-50 to stay a Saint as a result of all this manoeuvring around the place. And again, that's his call as much as it is the club's. The club has put a deal to him. Now, I'd imagine it's not as high as he would have liked it to have been, given the commitments financially in a very big way to Bradley Hill, firstly and foremostly, and also to Zach Jones. They needed to go over and above what other clubs were prepared to offer Zach Jones. And again, they did so for good reason. They like him. They've identified in his talent something that they want. But it means people like Jack Nunes then have to accept and receive initially at least a lesser offer than they would have liked.
And Jack Nunes is a wingman. He's played predominantly wing halfback at the Saints. So his role, as you would see, it would be filled by Bradley Hill and the Zach Jones types if they were to bring them in. Hanbury will play potentially wing as well if they bring more inside mids. So Jack Nunes, just on him, there was a stage last year that he held the current game's consecutive record in the AFL. That's how highly he was regarded at the Saints. Going back even 3 or 4 years ago, all the talk out of Moorabbin was, well, it's either going to be Seb Ross or Jack Nunes, our next captain. Geary still got that position and will do so as we see it into next year. So he has fallen down the pecking order a little bit. Alan Richardson and he had a few moments over the journey, but coach is gone now. So clearly something else is at play here if he has not yet put pen to paper on that deal.
You've talked about him in the past from a leadership component too. I mean, I know you've been big on that, actually, going back a couple of years, how much internally they rated that side of his game.
Absolutely. And, heard Lee Montagna a few weeks ago, who's currently at Fremantle, put him up as a potential that, as obviously a former teammate of his at St Kilda, now at the Dockers, saying that, well, if Hill and Langdon go, Nunes would be a like for like. Okay. Haven't heard any significant interest from the Dockers, but he does have friends in the competition, and there would be some suitors if he does get through this period without a contract.
Yeah, and that's the way I now expect it to play out. There's simply so much the Saints have to now execute between now and close of play Wednesday night, 7:30, the close of the 2019 trade period. And they do have to act on those names now, Mitch, don't they? Those names can't go beyond tomorrow night, 7:30, the way Jack Nunes can. He can go beyond, just to back over that, he can go beyond tomorrow night 7:30, not declare his hand and then walk in and sign with St Kilda the next day if he wants to. He doesn't have to.
Dan Butler could do the same. He could do a delisted free agency if he doesn't get signed in the next two days.
So he could sign with the Saints.
Okay.
So he's
out of contract.
Right.
So he could just be delisted by the Tigers. And then
picked up as a
delisted free agent.
He'd like to have his future worked out before then. Yeah. Nunes, I believe, has got his head around not requiring an answer tomorrow night. And given the Saints have had an offer in front of him now for some time, and he's chosen not to sign off on it to this point, at least as of today anyway, you'd expect it to now go beyond tomorrow night. So A lot to happen with the Saints. Five names wanting to come to their club. They still wanting to get all five names to their club. They need equally to get some leverage and some currency to enact those decisions. And the currency around Josh Bruce is clearly the big one for them. There's still an unknown as to what they will get from the Bulldogs on him going to the Bulldogs. And the Jack Stephen one, as we've known for some time, a significant stalemate now where the Cats have got picks 14, 17, 24, 36, 37. It's that last one, that 37 is what the Saints want for him. But Stephen Wells, as far as we can tell, Mitch, and even as of this morning, is not moving on that. And their only pick beyond that is all the way back to 93. That seems too far back in the mix. How they can potentially bring someone in a bit closer to 37, but not quite 37. And Stephen Wells gets deals done. He's actually a reasonable man. I don't see it being 37, but I don't see it being 93 either. So you could, closer to 37 than 93, we'll get that done.
You could tap into next year's future third round, which would be in that 45 bracket. Sort of there, so yeah. That would, yep. You know, if Wells doesn't want to part with 37, but even back to the night we had the Tim Kelly story here, I still felt that end of second round pick in the 37 range was going to get it done, in that St Kilda were willing to pay part of Stephen's wage for next year. So, you know, we'll see how that plays out. But I still thought the Saints were going to pay some of his wage. Just got some breaking news coming through.
Yeah, we have. And we might as well take a break and then refer to the breaking news. Adelaide confirming that Matthew Nix is its new senior coach, Mitch. So we might just go and get some detail around the tenure and how it's happened in the ad break, and come back and bring our listeners the absolute latest with it. It's been a development that we've expected for some time, confirmed now, and we'll delve into it on the other side of this break on the Trade News Hour for Telstra, Australia's best mobile network, and for Soap for Tradies, exfoliates, soothes and eliminates odours.
You're listening to the Trade News Hour. You're listening to the Trade News Hour for Telstra, Australia's best mobile network, and Soap for Tradies. Exfoliates, soothes and eliminates odours. A Trade News Update for Beaumont Tiles. During Beaumont's mega floor clearance, it's goodbye ugly.
Well, Damo, 31 hours and 13 minutes ago, 25 players still to find new homes. But the big news that has emerged this morning, the Crows confirming Matthew Nix as their new senior coach. He spent this year at the Giants as Leon Cameron's right-hand man as his senior assistant. But Matthew Nix joins the Crows in what they're branding a new era on their social media accounts.
Yeah, they are. And yet to give detail to tenure and the workings behind the scenes on that particular decision. But a very, very wide-ranging review of the football club eventually led to this decision today, and he's been named officially as of minutes ago as the next Crows coach.
Been a fair turnover. They lose their head of footy, their senior assistant in Scott Camprioli, their senior coach in Dom Pike, and the co-captain Taylor Walker steps down. It's a fair turnover in the space of a grand final side in 2 years.
Yep.
To a side now that has a whole new look going into the 2020 season.
It is. We might delve further into that, Mitch, in a few moments' time. That news update there that you brought us was for Beaumont Tiles. Get rid of ugly with Beaumont's floor clearance. You'll be happy you chose Beaumont. A lot of guys and girls have called in on 1300 23 55 48. That's the Westmix hand trolleys open line. We may as well go to them in a few moments, Mitch, and also encourage others to give us a ring on that number, 1300 23 55 48. You mentioned the exodus of senior football department talent there at the Crows, and you were off an assistant coach, a football operations boss, a coach himself. Matthew Lloyd and I spoke to Eddie Betts this morning. To think that he, still being a contracted Crows player, can be talking openly about needing to get out of there. He didn't give detail, but obviously just said it was time to get out of there and to get back to Carlton, which he will be for next year. And yeah, still a fair bit to play out with the Crows, even between now and close of play tomorrow night, trade period-wise.
Absolutely. You dig even deeper in that grand final side. Not only Eddie Betts, we know Charlie Cameron and Jake Lever have gone. Mitch McGovern didn't get picked for that game, but you've got Sam Jacobs, who's about to leave. Hugh Greenwood played that day. the list goes on. Josh Jenkins is still in limbo as it sits with 31 hours to go.
Yeah, and a lot to still play out with Alex Keith's passage from the Crows, at least by wanting to get to the Bulldogs as well. And given the Bulldogs have been so adamant and so focused and targeted on Josh Bruce and Alex Keith, I still feel those deals will get down. But there's a reluctance at this point for the Dogs to use pick 13, which would certainly open up all possibilities around both of those players. But their next picks, 32, 45, 51, 53, to this point are the numbers that they're trying to use to extricate both Bruce and Keith. Bruce from St Kilda, Keith from the Crows, their way. So they'll need to be quite clever in how they manage that situation from here.
And just getting word out the back, a three-year deal for Matthew Nicks. It seems in line with so many new coaches. Reece Shaw got the same. Justin Longmuir the same. And who are the others? I think David Teague was a three-year deal as well.
I think so, it was 3 years for Teague,
It seems like the right fit.
You can't give two and force too many. Yeah, so and what also happens these days too, unless it's a very extreme situation, is the 3 years becomes six very quickly. So yep. That seems to be the new play in football in recent times. So Matty Nicks will be revealed officially as the Crows coach at a press conference this afternoon, and we will bring you details of that on Trade Radio throughout the course of the day when that happens. The Crows determining and now announcing Matthew Nicks as their coach to replace Don Pike. The Westmix open line, 1300 23 55 48. Let's head to it and go to Tassie first up to speak with Michael. G'day, Mike.
Yeah, g'day, guys. Love the show. I've just got a quick one that I haven't heard anyone touch on yet. The Giants, they have got their gun academy player, Tom Green, and they've been good enough to acquire pick six, but it's not going to be worth anything unless they can, which they want to do this, they want to get Green past six, take another elite kid, and then match Green, but they don't have the pick for that. They're trading with Hawthorne, but they have no picks to give up because they're in a similar situation with Whitfield. So that's what's locking both teams, as well as trying to get the Patton deal done. So my question is, how do the Giants bring in the picks they need in order to exploit their academy situation?
I see the Crows, pick four is the one that could potentially the Giants could keep their hands on. There has been discussions with the Crows on that. So it's a good point you make with the Tom Green situation. So he's seen in that 4, 5, 6 bracket. The Giants currently have pick six. If a bid comes for him at pick 4 or 5, Damo, that six will be absorbed straight away. So the idea here is that they'll try and take a pick if they can get their hands on four. And then when a bid comes for Green on 5 and 6, then you'll bundle up picks in the 20s and 30s to match that bid.
So you're saying that Melbourne won't use pick 3 on him?
I don't think so.
Okay. So but how would they get 4 from Adelaide?
To try and trade. So you move
6 for 4.
6 for 4 and throw in a pick in the late teens to move up 2 spots.
Yep. Okay. Now, it's a good question, Michael, and one that I think the educated Trade Radio listeners knows what you're referring to, just the draft pick points are allocated to the players who are bound to a club via the academies or father-son coming into play there. Let's go to Brisbane now. Matt.
Yeah, g'day, boys. Look, is it too late for Matthew Nicks, the new Crows coach, to get involved in trade period? I'm really hopeful that they, do a rebuild, give plenty of game for the kids, and no one comes in and tries to win every game as the priority and then leave the young kids in the reserves as a result of that. So could he still get involved in the last day and try and keep the seniors and trade for senior players?
I reckon now that it's become official, I think human nature would kick in, wouldn't it? This is now my club and I'm going to be answerable to whatever goes on under its watch. So I'd be staggered if he didn't already have an awareness of it, and even more so if he doesn't at least request the right to know what's going on between now and close of play tomorrow night. I mean, the scenario that Mitch Cleary just outlined there, potentially doing a deal with GWS over a swapping of picks of Adelaide's 4 with GWS's 6, that to me is now something that Matthew Nicks deserves to be part of, at least conversationally.
I heard Justin Reid, the list boss, a few weeks ago saying that the list manager actually enjoys this because the senior coach isn't getting involved. But Matthew Nicks, as you said, it's just natural that he'll get involved in the next 31 hours and have his say and have a feel. Just a quote that's come through on the press release they have now. issued, the Crows. Timing is everything, and I feel very well prepared, having progressed from being a development coach to a senior assistant at two different clubs in a vastly different markets. We'll be a team that not only embraces the contest, but seeks it out. A team-first mentality also sits at the core of all successful clubs. From this day forward, it will always be a clear focus and priority.
Yep. And he'll expand on those thoughts at a press conference at some stage of the next few hours, of which we will bring to our trade radio listeners. Matt, thanks for your call. And I'm assuming that type of question will be put to Matthew Nix at that media conference in a few hours' time. Let's go now to Heidelberg, where Jordan has called in. G'day, Geordie.
Hey, mate. How you going?
Well, thank you.
I've just got a trade suggestion for you, blokes. So Sydney... if they hand off Papley, give Essendon pick 5 and 9 for Joe Danaher, and then Essendon take 5 and 9 over to North Melbourne and you can hopefully get Ben Brown.
I just don't see it happening, Jordan. I mean, I haven't heard any interest in Ben Brown from Essendon. North, I don't know why they would, you know, want to contemplate that either. And apart from it being put out there yesterday as a possibility, I just haven't heard it from anyone of any note I speak to in the land of footy.
I saw a tweet suggesting it might have been a trade radio call that put it forward first.
Was it? Okay. No, I just don't see it happening, Jordan. And if I'm wrong, mate, ring back and remind me. I've just said it. It's not something I can see happening. But at this late stage, the Bombers, to my way of thinking, aren't going to be swinging their thinking around to that type of scenario, no matter what happens between them and the Swans with Joe Danaher. Ron now in Donvale. G'day, Ron.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Good, mate.
A dead set trade coming up.
Yep.
Aish, once Connell get the money, they'll go for Jenkins.
Look, you're speaking from personal contact with the club there, mate, or?
I think you'll find it'll happen tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah, look, it's a nice fit. I can see it being a nice fit. It was always going to be something done on the last day or even the last minutes of the trade period. They clearly do have, though, a salary cap issue, which they need to deal with the Pies. And there is an acceptance that Adelaide will be paying some of whatever wage Josh Jenkins takes in a future deal.
Here's Liam Pickering this morning. He's the manager of James Aish, speaking about his client heading over to the West for a medical with the Dockers.
We've been trying to extend him, and Collingwood were pretty upfront about it and just sort of said, look, at this stage, we wouldn't be able to do anything until potentially this time next year.
So they say to you and they say to James, explore your opportunities.
Well, if there's somewhere else that you're going to be guaranteed to play and it's going to be a good opportunity for you, we won't stand in your way.
Pickers there on SCN, obviously the Justin Longmuir relationship. He was the defensive coach at the Pies, close bond with James Aish, now the senior coach of the Dockers. He's the one that's been driving this.
Matty Lloyd, who I spend mornings on the early trade with on Trade Radio 2019, likes the potential around Josh Jenkins at Collingwood, has been saying it now for 2.5 weeks. And that was even initially discussed when it was possible that Jamie Elliott wasn't going to be there. But even with Elliott recommitting to the club, he still likes it as a possibility. And our caller there thinks it could be on the go. Whenever you see the name Toby on a talkback line, you do worry. He's not from Newport, though. This one's from Mentone. G'day, Tobe.
Hello. You reckon Lewis Taylor could help Tom Papley go to Carlton?
Lewis Taylor could help Tom Papley go to Carlton. Yeah, look, Lewis Taylor's name, Toby, is caught up in the machinations around Tom Papley. I still expect Papley to get to Carlton. Carlton will need to use pick 9 in order for that to happen. They'll get something back, at least by way of request. And should that happen, I would expect, Toby, for Louis Taylor to be part of what the Swans then do before close of trade tomorrow night.
I don't see, because if Louis Taylor goes to the Swans, it's not going to have really any impact on Papley. Papley's far more important to that structure and the setup.
But if they lose him, though.
It'd be a nice piece to fit in, but I don't think that's sort of, they're dependent on one another. I think Taylor could still arrive even if Papley stays.
Oh, do you? See, yeah. I don't. Okay. I see that differently. Okay, so you see a role for him there regardless.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. I always thought it depended upon Papley leaving, so... Toby, that's where I see it. Mitch has got a different view. We'll know one way or another by tomorrow night, come 7:30. Thanks for your call. Let's go to Stephen now in Hillcrest. G'day, Steve.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, mate.
Yeah, just wondering, have you heard anything about John Patton yet?
I just take the view, Steve, that it was always going to be one of those late ones. I haven't deviated off that. I think there's too much of a commitment now from the club and the player to go to the club for it not to happen. There's a landscape, isn't there, Mitch, where GWS and Hawthorn knows that the Hawks got Tom Scully for just effectively nothing last year, that they're not going to allow that to happen this year with John Patton for different reasons, by the way, and that if it is pick 42, which the Hawks own, has to be the one that they want to get, well, so be it. It has to be it. And it may even be 30 is the GWS initial request. Hawthorn's got 30 and 42 and 61. It won't be 11, Steve, and it won't be 87, but inside those two numbers on the Hawks' offerings are 30, 42 and 61. So, look, I think the Hawks will settle for 42, but might have to go as high as 30 if it stays that way in limbo tomorrow.
I think the big part of this for the Giants is they're clearing $600,000 off their books for next year in John Patton. So they can't be demanding too much. They are freeing up some good money off their books to help with the Jeremy Cameron, Lockie Whitfield, Zach Williams pursuit.
Similar to what Collingwood's got with its three big names, plus its captain in Pendlebury. Stephen, convinced though that he will be a Hawk officially tomorrow night. There's no one telling us anything contrary to that. It's just a matter of what draft pick number they use, but it is going to happen. I suppose the only other unknown about Hawthorn is what they're also potentially trying to do. Clarko's been really quiet, which makes everyone convinced he's doing something. And, yeah, no one knows what that something may well be, but we do know he doesn't die wondering in this trade period. Let's take a break. There's a heap of calls still on the line, so let's do them justice on the other side of it. The Westmix hand at trolleys line, 1300 2355 48.
I'm just getting some texts from down at AFL House. There might be some movement going on, so I'll try and firm that up through the break, but we might have another trade about to go down.
Okay, well, let's clear the decks for that reason, and also for our callers on the Westmix hand trolleys open line. Those in the know, Westmix is the go. Available at Bunnings Warehouse. Give us a call, 1300 2355 48.
You're listening to the Trade News Hour. Listening to the Trade News Hour for Telstra, Australia's best mobile network, and soap for tradies. Exfoliates, soothes, and eliminates odours.
You're listening to the Trade News Hour for Telstra, Australia's best mobile network, and for soap for tradies. Exfoliates, soothes, and eliminates odours. Mitch Cleary is going to join some dots for us, and our Trade Radio listeners, I'm sure, will come along for the ride. What is it that is happening at AFL House, Mitch?
Well, the first of 25 deals still to be done. Looks like it's about to drop.
John Patton, join the dots.
John Patton's manager, right. Paul Connors, he is as heavy a hitter as you get in this trade period, along with Graham Wright, have just made their way. Graham Wright being the footy boss of the Hawks, have just arrived at AFL HQ. So expecting John Patton to be a Hawthorn footballer any moment.
And there's no other possibility, no other combination that would have at the same point in time or in the same 90-second time frame for Paul Connors and Graham Wright to be walking into the building, Mitch?
Well, the Spies just informing the Giants are along for the ride too.
So they're there, okay.
So the trifecta is now complete. Giants, Hawks and Paul Connors, the manager of John Patton, are all at AFL House, paperwork being signed as we speak.
Okay, so the joining of the dots there has that to be the
Riley
John
Beveridge
Patton.
Is the one down there doing all the scouting for us at AFL HQ.
He's had as busy and as prolific a trade period as you could self, Mitch, down there, Riley Beveridge, along with you and Carl and everyone else there at afl.com.au. So the unknown there is what pick number it is going to take for the Hawks to get John Patton officially onto their books today. And as we just said a few moments ago, it'll be one of pick 30, 42 or 61. Are you prepared to put another dot along the row there?
I don't know. The only thing I could imagine that something might happen is maybe a pick swap. So one of those earlier ones comes out of the Hawks, one of the later ones from the Giants comes in, something like that. But
yep.
Don't have any firm details.
I'm just going to purely speculate here and go with 42.
Okay.
Yep. That's my take on the deal. We opened up the Westmix hand trolleys open line. Those in the know, Westmix is the go. Available at Bunnings Warehouse. That number you've all called in on for those who want to do so, 1300 23 55 48. Pete's on the road, wants to talk Bombers. G'day, Pete.
Damien, I'm thinking outside the box here, but I want to know what you feel about this. If Essendon do accept, say, pick 5 and pick 9 from Sydney for Joe Danaher, I would offer pick 5 to GWS for a later first round and a second round, maybe for Aiden Bonner. And then pick 9, I would give that to Gold Coast for Peter Wright now that King's re-signed. I don't know whether that's a possibility, but if it was, it'd have to be get done today, the Joe Danaher trade, I suppose.
It is outside the box, Pete. Matthew Lloyd earlier today on the early trade did mention a liking in his eyes of Bonner. I don't know whether it's necessarily tied up in machinations around the 5 and 9 and anything to do with Joe Danaher. I think they could act on that independently of 2 metre Peter, the other part of Peter's call there. I'm not sure he's in anyone's radar at the moment.
He's just on a 3-year deal at the Gold Coast Sun, so he's pledged his commitment to that footy club. But I don't mind the comparison with Ben King now staying at Gold Coast, whether they're going to have a pretty stacked forward line. If you go King, Lukosius, who has played a bit at halfback, but I think he's still a natural forward.
Does he solve problems, though?
Peter Wright?
Given he's been playing, correct me if I'm wrong, NEFL footy this year even.
I played quite a bit of AFL this year, NEFL more last year, but I think he's an upgrade on Stewart, Brown and McKernan, and he's still young.
Yep.
From that area too, Calder Cannon's kid, but you'd have to come to an agreement with the Suns to let him go, and I don't see them doing so.
Yep, given they are all about recommitment now, publicly as well. Pete, thanks for your call. Let's go now to Williams Landing. Max is on the line. Hi, Max.
Damo, how you going, mate? I just wanted to find out, last yesterday we had the story about Ollie Wines management coming to Carlton, and I'm thinking there was another story today that I read that Brad Crouch's name is again on the trade table. Now, if I were Carlton, I wouldn't, because we were going up the GWS player, I'm thinking if we were to go for a Brad Crouch, I mean, why would Carlton go for someone like a Camellio and not have any interest whatsoever in Brad Crouch?
Max, we just cut you off there just only because the line is so scratchy. It was a Brad Crouch-related question. Look, it's just what the recruiters and the people in the footy departments identify. There is no obvious to us anyway, Max and Mitch, interest from Carlton in Brad Crouch, and that's just a personal preference thing. And maybe Carlton was well aware that he was going to require too much, and they already had their targets in obviously Papley and Martin and Eddie Betts, as we've seen. So it's just a personal preference thing, Max. In terms of the Wines scenario, we didn't sort of get too involved in that story yesterday. Not saying it didn't happen. It's just not something we delved too deeply into, given it wasn't happening. But, yeah, the Blues have been really clear on what they wanted out of this trade period.
And I think the need for a bigger-bodied mid to accompany Paddy Cripps isn't there as much as it was 12 months ago. They got that player in Will Setterfield. It was a pick 5 right. in the draft. Gave up that future second last year, which is the second that they're missing this time around. He will be better for the preseason this year. Come off a knee last season, he'll be better for the run this time around. So I think the need for that big-bodied mid that we've all been talking about to help Paddy Cripps probably isn't as required as it was maybe it was 12 months ago.
And Max, just with regards to Crouch, still clearly contracted for next year. Matty Nix officially confirmed as a Crows coach. We'll probably have as big a say as anyone as to what happens. He could end the conversation this afternoon, couldn't he, by picking up the phone now that he's officially coach of the Crows and just says to Brad Crouch, hey, I'm not letting you go. And then that conversation stops. Now they've got a coach.
The other part of this is, if I'm Matthew Nix, am I following what Justin Longmuir has done over at Fremantle? He's gone and plucked out James Aish out of the Pies. We expect him to join on a 3-year deal pending that medical today. Does Matthew Nix get on the phone to...
Before you go any further, why don't we delve into that on the other side of a break we're about to have? Because I like what you're thinking. I think you've got one of the bigger names on the GWS list that might appeal to Matty Nix, or at least in a youth sense.
Yep.
Yeah. So let's go back to the calls. Perth we'll go to. Tom first. G'day, Tom.
Hey, legends. How you going?
Thanks, Tom.
Okay, mate.
What do you reckon? Do you reckon that Papley and Martin's going to happen? And if so, how are those deals going to get done?
I still do. They've just been too focused on getting them. In order, to me, it was getting Martin, then Papley, and then Betts. Betts just came regardless. They ended up doing Betts first. Look, 9 has to be involved. I don't claim to have an insight as to how they get both those players with use of 9, but Nine, there's an understanding inside that club that will need to be used to get Papley. Obviously, the Swans have got 25 and 44 beyond that. They will request, I would think, one of those two picks back. 25 might be too high, Mitch, to transact with Papley. But it'll unlock something else, Tom. And as such, I just feel they've been too focused on those two guys for too long to now not get the deal done at this late stage. And Eddie Betts also talked openly today to Matthew Lloyd and myself on Trade Radio about both those players. He says he hasn't had conversations at great length with them, but he certainly has, if you are to read into what he said, an awareness that they are both desperately wanted by the Blues. So to get back to your caller, I reckon they will get there. Let's go to James in Sydney now. G'day, James.
G'day, boys. How are we?
Yeah, we're well, mate. You want to talk about some replacements there for the Swans?
Yeah, obviously we got Nick Blakey on the wing for the outside speed, and we got Callum Mills potentially pushing up into the midfield. In terms of replacing Josh Kennedy, I know we've got George Hewitt and Luke Parker in there, but would we be looking at a Tom Cutler, or even if we were to go to the draft, a Brody Kemp for that big-bodied inside bit to replace Kennedy in the next few years?
Tom Cutler's more of an outside player, James. That's where he's played most of his footy at halfback in the wing at the Lions, and we think that he's still on the cards to head to Essendon as it sits. I think a player that they should have looked at is like a Braden Sire, one of those big-bodied inside midfielders.
Your man, Phil.
Yeah.
Phil in.
But he has signed a two-year deal at the Pies. So that's maybe more of that type of player. But I like your thinking, because after Josh Kennedy, George Hewitt's the one that he did step up in a big way this year, but there's not a great deal else coming through.
No, and he's just been such a great warrior, hasn't he, Josh Kennedy? But there's not a lot of footy left. Now, whether that means there's not 4 years left, but there's there's not a lot left. But no, it's a good point to raise there, James. A couple more before a break. Back here to Victoria, Maribyrnong specifically, where Luke's joined us. Hi, Luke.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Well, mate.
I'm a Bombers supporter, and look, they're probably still not interested. There's two guys I want to talk about, Sam Perrell-Pepper and Tom Cutler. Look, I'm wondering if they should still pursuing in getting them, and if so, who's the better pick?
I think Perrell-Pepper would be more of a need for Essendon as that big-bodied mid. They've got so many small midfielders, but it doesn't sound like that one is happening, and it's even been shut further now that Fantasia's not going back to Alberton. Cutler looks like it's on the cards for a pick in the 30s or 40s. I know yesterday the Bombers and the Lions were speaking about him, but I don't have any update as it sits this morning.
Okay. Again, Luke, a lot to potentially shake out between now and 7:30 tomorrow night, close of play 2019 trade period. Thank you for your call. And now Harry in Frankston. Hi, Harry.
Hi, boys. Just a quick question on Harley Bennell and his movements into next year.
So we met with his surgeon last week, Peter Stanton in Victoria. He's had multiple surgeries on his calves. The feeling is that he won't be able to run until January. There's a few clubs just monitoring him. I wouldn't rule out a situation with Harley Bennell that you saw Sydney Stack go through this year, where he's maybe put on a club's list through December and January, and there's no decision need to be made until that February-March timeline as a pre-season supplemental period. So I think there's a few players that might be in a similar boat like that, but Stack has really paved the way to show that, all right, we'll give this guy 2 months, a bit of a trial period, and if he proves to us that he's worthy of a spot on our list, we can do that. And we saw this year that Stack lived up to the hype.
He would have played in a grand final had he not got injured. He was in the emergencies in the end anyway, just ran out of runway, didn't he, to get himself back after that injury, and otherwise would have been part of the 22. So, yeah, I see it that way too, Harry, for what it's worth. I just don't see him being picked up prior to that period, and he still needs to convince quite a few people that he's worthy of a yet another go on an AFL list. But thank you for your calls. A few other calls on the line there, Mitch. We might get to them on the other side of this break, where I also want to get you to delve a bit deeper into what you just threw up there as a theory about Matty Nix's connections with the club at which he's been at now for some seasons as an assistant coach, GWS, now officially being confirmed as the Adelaide Crows coach. You've got a theory about what he might be doing between now and close of play tomorrow night, trade period-wise. And he'll bring that, Mitch Cleary, to our Trade Radio listeners on the other side of this break on the Trade News Hour for Telstra, Australia's best mobile network, and for soap for tradies, exfoliates, soothes, and eliminates odours.
You're listening to the Trade News Hour.
You're listening to the Trade News Hour for Telstra, Australia's best mobile network. And soap for tradies. Exfoliates, soothes and eliminates odours. A trade news update for Tintacar. Tintacar, darkest legal now from $295.
John Paton becomes a Hawthorn player. It will be for a future fourth round pick. That is the news update for Beaumont's tiles. Get rid of ugly with Beaumont's floor clearance. You'll be happy you chose Beaumont's. Before we finish up today, Mitch Cleary has discovered goings on that break the deadlock potentially between the Geelong Football Club and the St Kilda Football Club over Jack Stephen. Mitch, there's movement. You've been on the phone in that ad break. Bring it to our listeners as best you can.
So right now, Gold Coast has pick 58, Damo. They're about to sign Zach Smith from Geelong on a two-year deal. So pick 58 will make its way from Gold Coast to Geelong. And then I expect that pick 58 to be tied up in a deal that will go to St Kilda to make Jack Stephen a Geelong footballer in season 2020. So pick 58 will be the one that goes from Gold Coast down to Geelong and then over to Moorabbin, and it will mean that Zach Smith's a Gold Coast player and Jack Stephen is a Geelong footballer, most likely by the end of today.
Well, that's significant because we spoke only moments ago, actually, about the pick 37 being the number that the Saints wanted for Jack Stephen off the Geelong offerings. They weren't prepared to give that number. They've now got 58. It's about where they wanted it to be for Jack Stephen upon entry to the 2019 trade period, and it's now up to the Saints to accept it. It won't give them any great wiggle room, though, will it, on what the Saints need to do in order to bring in the five names who have now committed to their club.
You've got the order there in front of you with St Yep. Kilda as it sits. So they've got 12 and 18. Their next pick isn't for a long way back.
Yeah,
so you might say 58 being a sweetener in one of these deals for Jones or Dougal Howard and the like.
Right. So it's currently 12, 18, 76 and 82. You're saying that 58 will potentially come back to the Saints. Should they agree for that to be the case over the exchange of Jack Stephen to Geelong? And Geelong currently doesn't have 58, but the Gold Coast Suns do. And they are prepared, according to Mitch Cleary, to give that pick to the Cats for Zach Smith.
That's why I'm getting it fed at the moment.
Look, the way this particular 2019 trade period is unfolding, that is about the right number for Jack Stephen, given that there will be a financial component to his deal with the Cats that the Saints will have to get their head around. And I think more importantly, Mitch, the emotional commitment now that Jack Stephen has made to himself and maybe to others about leaving the club he's loved and has won four best and fairest at, but to go to the Cats is of a significant enough nature now where there's no turning back on this.
And I saw, speaking for a long way out, 37 I thought was going to be part of the Jack Stephen deal once the Cats got their hands on that via the Tim Kelly trade, meaning the Saints would have paid more of a portion of that contract. But now if we're reading into 58 being just 58 or not being as much for the Saints, you would see a scenario where the Saints don't spend as much of Jack Stephen's contract next year.
Mitch, our time's nearly up today on the News Hour. You and I will be back tomorrow morning at 7 for early trade, and then we'll go through until 9 o'clock, and then obviously Trade Radio will be going all the way through until 7:30. You and I will rejoin the coverage at 5. It's a video offering also on the AFL platforms where it's just live TV, live radio, live everything right up until the close of play where all the deals go down in the final few moments. And we'll have cameras everywhere. You'll have your roving mic and we'll be bringing our listeners all the news as it unfolds in those final frantic hours of 2019 trade period.
Look forward to that, Damo. Kane Corns, Terry Wallace along for the ride as well. So Riley Beveridge, Cole Toomey, a big bumper team from 5 o'clock Melbourne time tomorrow. Just if you missed it as well, Matthew Nix will speak 3 p.m. Melbourne time today.
You're listening to the Trade News Hour.